Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters. Episode 27. I got it right. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I'm Micah. Good start.
Still try every time.
One of these days, I'm going to find like a groove to fall into.
If this was a basketball podcast, I'd be passing you the ball to like set you up for a dunk.
And I would drop it.
You'd drop it every time.
Yeah. Yep. I could come in strong and be like, and I'm your boy, Micah, but I don't want to like turn off new people immediately that turn it on and go, okay, well, that's enough of this.
Whoop, never mind.
Not interested anymore.
The more humble approach. This is a podcast about Monster Hunter. We are gearing up for Monster Hunter World. We're less than 25. When this goes up, we'll be like 25 days away-ish, give or take.
Less than?
I mean,
I think we're closer to 20 at this point.
That's why I included the ish.
Yeah. What's the date today? I don't know anything right now. I'm falling apart. Holidays took a lot out of me.
Yeah, I feel like I've been nonstop since Christmas with all like the holidays and the traveling and the family.
It's too much.
Con season is coming up.
Can we just do, next year, can we just do our own holiday where family is invited but not required to come, and then they probably just won't, and then we just don't have to worry about it.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah.
We have, let me just take a look here. 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes. Well, not including this one. 3 more episodes till the actual launch of Monster Hunter World. That comes out on Friday.
That's exciting.
January 26th. So we'll have one episode before that. I would imagine that we have some news here that we're going to talk about. Some of the news is that there's probably not going to be much more news.
Yeah, probably not.
In the next 3 weeks. So we'll get to that in a moment. But we might bring the episodes down to 30 minutes just for the next 3 weeks, just because we're kind of in the, what are they, like before the eye, you're in the eye of the storm. That's when it's like the calmest, right?
And then it gets, when you're in the eye of the storm, it's calm. And then outside of the eye of the storm is when it gets really intense again.
So I feel like we're in the eye right
now. So like we passed through the first wall of the storm.
Yeah.
Now we're in the eye.
Uh-huh.
And we're about to hit the other wall.
All right.
Yeah, that was actually a good analogy.
Yeah, so if you don't know, this is a meteorology podcast.
Yeah, we tell you about all the... tell us where you're from, and we'll tell you the weather.
We'll tell you how the eye of the storm works. Yeah. So we might bring it down to 30 minutes. Just I feel this like also, too, because I continue to do Monster Hunter Nights on Twitch.
Yeah.
And I think people are done with Double Cross.
Because it's so close now.
Yeah,
and
it's really
now that
close
everybody
now
has gotten a taste of World...
I think that's 100% that.
Nobody wants to go back.
And that's not to say Double Cross is a bad game.
No,
I'm
it's
definitely
not
enjoying it. But even my last 2 or 3 streams, I've kind of ended them early. I usually go like 8 to midnight, 4 hours of some hardcore. That's not really hardcore, but some hunting action. But I've been ending them just a little bit early just because, yeah, I don't think the interest is there anymore. I think because people got a taste of the demo, it was so widely available to everyone.
Yep.
That they're ready for it.
I think so, too.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
Especially with the holidays, people being busy and...
I can say from my experience, I 100% feel that way.
Well, you were done with the demo. You were done with Double Cross like 3 weeks after it came out.
No, I mean, I hung around for quite a bit, but it just got to a point where after we talk about and look at Monster Hunter World so many times during the week that when I'm looking at that and I'm seeing all the stuff for that and I'm seeing all these videos and this coverage and whatever... When I then go to play Double Cross, I just want all of the stuff that they're talking about or all the stuff that I'm seeing for World. And then once I got a taste of it, then it was 100% like, why would I want to go back? And again, it's not that it's a bad game. It's just that this is the best Monster Hunter experience I've had so far with World. And it does so many things right that they did not wrong, but not as good for so many years. Does that make sense?
Like quality of life stuff.
Yeah.
Like to me, it's hard to go back to an old Pokemon game because they have HMs and they have.
Oh, yeah. As someone who's playing Pokemon Yellow right now.
No running shoes. No
running shoes. Your inventory has 15 slots in it.
You can
it
only
or
use TMs once.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bad. That's not to say that Pokemon Yellow was bad.
No, right.
But no, it's bad.
Yeah. Correct. And I'm happy that I own Double Cross because it's nice to be able to, like, when we go to PAX which we'll talk about later. I will probably, it'll be nice to be able to like sit in the hotel room at the end of the day and maybe like do a hunt or something.
Just one hunt.
Just well, a single one.
Well, Will will be there, so at least we could do three people in a hunt.
Yeah, or if somebody is there that wants to hang out and hunt with us at some point, then...
It's like the Switch is a... Are you telling me the Switch is a portable system?
How? Why would I ever say that?
Let's get to some Monster Hunter news. We got a little bit. Not a lot. And like I said, I think the news might dwindle as we get closer and closer to launch, and then it will explode. But if you were looking to pre-order the collector's edition of Monster Hunter World, from my understanding, I think at one point it sold out, and people were like, I can't get the collector's edition anymore. But it seems like it is back on GameStop, at least the U.S. GameStop. I'm not sure about other countries. I probably should have looked that up. But it is $149.99, the PS4 version. They also have an Xbox One version. Same price. They are available for pre-order. You are into that.
And what does it include again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. it includes the game. What
no
was that
way.
Collector edition that didn't include the game?
Was
that a Mass Effect?
Assassin's Creed? Maybe it was Mass Effect. It included like the steelbook, but not the actual game. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
The Nirgigante statue.
Sweet.
A 32-page hardcover art book. A digital soundtrack.
Ooh.
A digital deluxe DLC card featuring the samurai set. Additional gesture 1, which is Zen. Additional gesture 2, which is Ninja Star. Additional gesture 3, which is Sumo Slap. I'm really curious of what these look like.
Yeah, I'm like imagining them in my head.
Two additional sticker sets. The Wyvern face paint. And the top knot hairstyle.
Okay.
Is that the man bun?
Yeah. No, it's a top knot. I mean, it is a man bun, but it's like it's like an actual thing.
It's like better than a man bun?
Yeah.
More
I mean,
classy?
I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough in the culture to say, oh, yeah, look at that man bun.
I was a little on this was, I pulled this off the subreddit that these were. That these were back in stock at GameStop, but there is a 1-star review for Monster Hunter World saying, just disappointed in the lack of special edition of pre-order. Please give us more.
Oh, okay.
So clearly, Jason D over here could not pre-order.
Right.
So we're letting you know now, Jason D. Pre-order's up.
Jason D, you can change. You can adjust your review to maybe 3 stars.
They also titled their review, Perfect Game.
Can we? I really want to go on a tangent about Amazon reviews, but I feel like this is not the time or the place. That is a prime example of a bad Amazon review, though.
Well, this is a GameStop review.
Oh, GameStop, but even better.
So, if you're looking for the collector's edition, GameStop has your number.
Yeah, there you go. I like that you can review things before they come out.
Yeah, that's
GameStop.
A really good system.
It's a good system. I do recall previously on GameStop seeing reviews for things like, for example, a Pokemon game that was coming out and somebody would post a 5-star review and be like, I'm so excited for this game. I'm like, this isn't a review.
You can do that in iTunes too. You can definitely review albums that you can just pre-order at that point. And maybe you get like one song when you pre-order in iTunes.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's a thing.
Bad system.
This is off Destructoid. Monster Hunter World final live stream planned for January. And then they'll never stream again.
And that's it.
That's it.
Final. Saying Capcom stream?
I think this is like the final bit. So I'll just read the thing.
Not
here.
A Destructoid. Monster Hunter.
No, not a Destructoid.
Okay.
Capcom's advertising and information feed for their highly anticipated adventure Monster Hunter World has been nothing less than extraordinary. By now, you have the opportunity. Well, okay. Yep. Capcom will still have one more information burst planned before the big day. They will be broadcasting in Japan on January 5th, taking a final look at the game's features and creatures. The stream will be hosted by Monster Hunter World director Yuka Tokada and produce. I'm really bad at Japanese names. I apologize. Producer Rizio.
Nope.
Ryozo.
There it is.
There it is. Hold on.
Okay.
Sugimoto.
Yeah. Did it. You did it.
And our, oh my gosh, another name. And our director, Kaname Fujioka.
Okay.
Fujioka.
Good job.
I was struggling here.
So without the butchered pronunciations, give us the titles. Art director, producer, and
director.
Director.
The stream is scheduled for broadcast on January 5th, 1930 JST. Monster Hunter World will be released on January 26th. So this is just a little bit unfortunate because that's probably, as we're recording, that's probably in like 12 to 18 hours from us. If I do Japanese math, when this announcement's going to happen?
Oh, I think...
Because it's... no, it's about
Thursday,
24
Thursday
hours.
Thursday morning, probably. For us, is when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think.
So that's okay. We'll talk about it next week.
Or, sorry, Friday morning.
Friday
for
morning.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next week, but this will probably be the last bit of news kind of made. Probably, I'm assuming, showing off one more map. My guess would be showing off one more map. My guess would be showing off two new monsters.
Yeah.
I'm doing bold guesses here. And then my other guess is they're going to show two old monsters.
That
I'm
sounds
going to say
good.
One map.
Oh,
two
that's
new,
a lot.
Two old.
Four
well,
monsters.
It's the last one.
That's true. You're
the last
right.
one.
You got to hit them with all the goods, I guess. yeah, I could believe it. And what did they say? Burst of new. What did they use? What words did they use to describe it?
One more information burst being planned
information
before the big
burst.
Day.
Well, I'm sure that
I will even say
Sugimoto-san and Tokata-san will blow everybody's minds.
I will even be so bold to say I bet the map they show is a lava map.
How dare you?
A very bold guess.
Too bold. Too much of a hot take.
This would be my also hot take.
Yeah.
You want another hot lava take? You want a lava sloth take here?
Sure.
That they're not going to mention G-Rank?
Okay, probably.
And that G-Rank is not in this game.
Probably. I think that that's pretty safe to say at this point.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty safe to say that there's no... Like, if they haven't talked about it yet, the likelihood that G-Rank is in it is probably very low. Because I think that there is a certain amount of information that people who have never played the game before would need to know to kind of get it. And I don't think that, like, 2 weeks beforehand is enough time, really, to be like, this is what G-Rank is, and this is kind of how it works, and this is... I think maybe that's just not... Especially because there are so many people now that I'm seeing that are really excited for it. Like, we'll talk about the news that was announced today later, but even that news, there were so many people that I follow that are, like, big Twitch streamers on Twitter that were retweeting that news... Super excited about it that prior to World never played a Monster Hunter game. Like, so I think that there needs to be a little bit more information, like leeway time for information to be, I guess, like absorbed.
Yeah.
And I think it's too late for G-Rank to be that.
Yeah. And I've heard people say, or I've seen people say that G-Rank makes the game, and I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, I know that there are...
Like, High Rank is still... High Rank can be extremely hard.
Yeah.
There were plenty of High Rank quests in Double Cross, for example, where I just didn't do them.
Right.
Or I knew that if I did do them, I would probably need another person with me, because I didn't feel confident enough to do them solo. Like, they're... I don't know what they're called offhand, but They're like the quest at the end of High Rank that it's like, oh, fight Ketsu, and it's just a really, really hard Ketsu. It has like a diamond around it or something. The icon does. I forget what they're called. They're like variants or something.
Variants.
Would I love G-Rank? Absolutely. I think G-Rank's cool, especially after getting a G-Rank armor set and everything in Double Cross. I think that's super great. Because I think the last time I got to G-Rank was 3U, and I literally, opened up G-Rank, and then I stopped playing at that point. Not because I didn't like it, but because, life happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think I was in the middle of moving. I think there was, a con coming up, and then all of a sudden new games came out. So this was really... Double Cross was the first time where it's not only did I open G-Rank, I got to play G-Rank.
Yeah.
There are definitely hardcore Monster Hunter people that will get through low rank, get through high rank extremely quickly.
Yeah.
But somebody like us, where we're kind of in the middle of the road, we're not like super, super hardcore.
Yeah.
We've also been playing the series for a while. I still took me 60, 80 hours to get to G rank.
Right.
And that's a good chunk of time.
Well, especially like, with...
And all that, those 80 hours are super fun.
Yeah. And especially with the addition of a story mode that's, what did they say, like 40 hours or something?
40 to 60 hours. For the story mode?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of content here.
We think. We hope.
We think. It seems like. Even with the 40 to 60 hour story mode outside of that, then you have all of the individual hunts that you're doing, all of the grinding that you're doing for gear. Like, there's a lot of time here that you're probably going to be able to put into this game. And I think it has twofold reasoning. I think, for one, it gives people the ability to all be on the same page to some degree with this game. Because there's really only one type of mode that is happening. Because there's no G rank, there's just, you know, low rank, high rank. And it's also not super daunting, maybe, for people that are new to it, to feel like, well, if I'm not doing G rank, then I'm not really playing the game, you know?
Yeah. Where G rank should feel like a... G rank should... I don't know how to word this. Like, G-Rank should feel like, not like a reward, but almost like a celebration.
Like an achievement.
Or like something for people who just want to keep playing to do.
Yeah.
And I've definitely been in the mindset where it was like, I need to get to G-Rank. That's where everyone is. I need to get there as fast as possible. And you're kind of blazing through everything just to get there.
Right.
And yeah, it's harder. But it's if low rank and high rank haven't like convinced you.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, G rank isn't going to convince you. G rank is for the hardcore.
Yeah.
Like and I believe that World is not that game. Can World be that game eventually? Sure, absolutely. But the main goal for World, to me, and to how I see the marketing it, is to actually expand in the West.
Yeah.
So, like, absolutely, slapping G-Rank in there is not...
It doesn't really help anything for people that are new to it.
Right. Like, if I'm brand new to Monster Hunter and I'm talking to Monster Hunter fan, they're not going to be like, oh, don't get this one. It doesn't have G-Rank. They're going to be like, this is a great Monster Hunter to try.
Yeah.
And that's how the conversation should be.
Right.
Whereas, like, if you're dying for G-Rank and this game doesn't have G-Rank, I don't know why you wouldn't buy it. But yeah, also, I feel like you would buy it and still have a good time. And yeah, then, hopefully... Like every single Monster Hunter game that has ever come out, G-Rank does come later.
Right. And I'm sure that there will be things endgame that are scaled in a way that it's still a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, it'll still be a challenge. And then it will only be more challenging with G-Rank. I guess it's hard to say. Like, I think it's really easy for a fan base, a lot of times, to have a difficult time looking outside of the fan base to an expansion of the fan base. I think it's hard to see, like, it's easy as a fan of something to say, this is what I'm used to and this is what I want, even if it's not good for getting new people into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that happens a lot of times. And I think that...
And we definitely know that Capcom probably has statistics of people who actually play G-Rank.
Yeah.
They probably know.
Yeah. Or at least, like, you know, the numbers, the majority of...
So it's like, if only 5% of our... 5% of people buy... If a million people buy Monster Hunter...
Yeah.
And 5% of people actually play and get to G-Rank... Then at this time, let's not worry about G-Rank. Let's worry about making that first impression, that first 10 hours, the most enjoyable as possible.
Yeah.
So that when G-Rank does come around, hopefully we can get more than I'm not saying that 5% of people do J rank. These are just but like this again gets into like Pokemon talk, but I think there was statistics that came out about Pokemon that only like 10% of people play past the Elite Four. Like, it's a super low number.
Yeah.
And like, that's the biggest thing. If you're into Pokemon, the biggest thing you might hear when a new Pokemon game comes out is, I hope the post game is good. I hope they're doing something with post game. But the reality is, a lot of people don't care about that.
Right.
They just beat the Elite Four. They've been satisfied with their purchase and they put it down.
Right.
A PlayStation is a super good example with the trophies. I think Xbox started doing it now. Like, look at like, it wouldn't be an episode of The Carve if we didn't talk about Destiny and Pokemon, but if you look at like the amount of people that completed a raid in Destiny, which is arguably the best content, I think it was less than 20% in Destiny 1 on at least PS4. I don't know. It could have been higher on Xbox or something, but like it's like 1 out of 5 people that played Destiny experienced quote unquote the best content of Destiny. And that's like a huge bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I do see to some degree, I see both sides of it though. And I think it's just finding a good balance because I can see it from the perspective of people who aren't hardcore fans saying, well, it's not that I only want G rank, but I'm at the point or I'm at the skill level where I'm probably going to get through, or historically I've gotten through the main Monster Hunter, like the whatever loop, and the low rank and the high rank and everything in such a short amount of time that this sounds like maybe it would be
too easy.
It would be like so easy that it doesn't justify the $60 purchase or something.
I can see that, yeah.
But I think it's just finding that balance, and maybe that is what they're doing, where with high rank, maybe they're making it a little bit more challenging, or they're adding, you know, later on more DLC monsters or something, or DLC hunts, not monsters, but hunts specifically that have restrictions or something, or, you know, are buffed in a way that makes it a little bit more challenging without making it G rank.
Right. Yeah.
We also have to consider there is the possibility that they may just be moving in the direction of not doing G rank, and instead of doing G rank, just making it harder and not calling it that.
Yeah, that could be it.
So, there's many possibilities, but...
Yeah, we don't know, but...
I don't think at this point we're getting...
I don't, and I feel like the next announcement in 24 or 48 hours, whenever this podcast, whatever, on January 5th...
Yeah.
...is going to, like, cement that we're probably not getting G-Rank. Because they're not going to release a game without saying, like, this is everything it has.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to be like, we snuck in G-Rank. They're going to tell us if there's G-Rank or not.
Oh, absolutely.
That's like a selling point. That is a selling point to a lot of people. So obviously you would tell your potential customers if it's in the game or not.
I'll be legitimately surprised if they announce G rank at that next event.
Yeah, it would be cool. I'm not saying I don't want it. I'm just saying like I'm okay waiting for it.
Right. And I think it makes the most sense. It makes things comfortable for new people.
Speaking of waiting, that segue.
Good segue.
Monster Hunter PC port has a date.
Sort of.
Yeah.
It has a launch window.
Sort of. Autumn of 2018.
I like that they said autumn and not fall. I don't know why. That was like, that stuck out to me, but.
Well, autumn starts in September.
It's the same, isn't it? Maybe it's not. Am I?
I don't know. Well, I'm assuming the end of the fiscal year is what? End of fiscal year is October, isn't it? Autumn sounds like September or October this is coming.
The end of the fiscal year is, the new fiscal year starts in October. It ends on the 30th, but I'm trying to find the difference between autumn and fall.
Okay, you look that up. I wish there was more to say about that.
The first result is autumn and fall the same?
It was announced on Twitter, on the official Monster Hunter Twitter. It's a minute 25 video of them pretty much just saying like they were happy with all the showings at Gamescom, Tokyo Game Show, everything about that. Met a lot of fans, got a lot of feedback, and the PC version is currently being optimized and is planned for autumn of 2018.
So autumn is known as fall in American and Canadian English, but it's called autumn in other places. So okay. It's the same thing.
Got it. So I'm assuming September or October.
Yeah, probably. If I had to guess, I would say October, because that seems to be the hot video game date or video game month.
And it's important to note that they said they're aiming for autumn.
Yeah.
So it could be delayed again.
Right.
Games don't get delayed ever.
No, that's not a thing that happens.
It never happens.
Ever.
They
said they're optimizing for PC though, right? Like that's what this is now. Like
I don't play PC games.
Yeah.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Does Capcom make? I'm really good at sentences.
Do Capcom make?
Does Capcom have good PC? I don't know. I'm asking you. I don't know if you've purchased any Capcom PC games.
Some of them have been not amazing ports, because typically what happens is, like in this case, they release it on console and then they port it to PC or optimize it for PC. And a lot of times that doesn't work out well. I've heard, though, that I can't think of any specific examples, but I've heard that like the most recent thing is Okami HD got a PC port.
Pretty recently, right?
Yes, within the last month, I think. And I've heard that the PC port of Okami HD is very good.
Okay.
So it sounds like if the PC ports... The only PC port that I can think of is Dragon's Dogma was a Capcom game that I really enjoyed. I liked it a lot. And the PC port of it is actually very good, but it took a long time to get the PC port. So as long as I think this is fine, because I think this makes sense that they saw from the beta that there is a legitimate want for the PC version of this game. And I think that the PC audience was extremely vocal about it. And if they're taking the time to make that port good, then perfect. I think that's totally fine.
I think that's important, of course.
Yeah. And there were, I talked before about it a little bit, and now I can talk about it more, but there were all of the people that I saw that played the beta on PS4 and streamed it, the bigger
they clearly streamers have PS4s.
With the bigger audiences, a lot of them said, I love this game, but I want to play it on PC. And today, I saw pretty much all those same people retweeting the news that there was like a launch window. And they were very excited about it. So it seems like people are generally excited that they know when it's coming now. And just that there is confirmation, like, it's coming to PC in this time frame. It's not just we're saying that it's coming to PC and nobody knows when. Like, maybe 2019, maybe 2025. Like, no, I think people are fine with that. And I'm fine with that, too, because I plan to play it on PC with some of my friends. And I think it's okay waiting as long as they do it right, as long as they do the port right.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than playing a PC game that is a console port and it still requires console controls and it's optimized for that and it's terrible.
That sounds awful.
It's not fun.
Do Capcom games, last question about this before we move on, do Capcom games usually go through Steam? Like, is the Okami game in Steam?
Yes.
Okay. So there is no reason to believe that you wouldn't be able to get this through Steam.
Yeah, I would assume it's coming through Steam.
Awesome. Well, that's all I had for news. I don't know if you had anything. I think you said you had one thing. Otherwise, we can do our Monster of the Week.
I had just one little thing that was a cool thing that I didn't know existed that I found this week. I've been streaming Animal Crossing, as you know. Probably nobody else.
No, I know. Yeah.
But you know.
I love Animal Crossing.
And I was doing this thing where I decided I was going to start a new town from scratch, and I was going to let chat dictate everything that happened to the town, what it was called and, you know, what the theme was and who the villagers were that we added, because you can add villagers with the amiibo, the welcome amiibo, like you scan a card or you scan an amiibo and it brings a new villager in. I had no idea that there is a Monster Hunter villager in Animal Crossing.
What?
So if you have the Naviru Monster Hunter Stories amiibo,
uh-huh,
and you scan
that's
it, it
cat
gives you...
That's the weird talking cat. I don't like him.
It gives you a cat villager named Feline. That's just the Monster Hunter Palico.
It looks like it.
Yes, not like Naviru.
Oh,
like,
it
like
just looks
like the like the you know the base the normal
basic yeah. yeah.
And it's just a Palico that's a villager.
What?
It's amazing.
It doesn't have any like Monster Hunter jokes or references.
Yeah, the second that you scan it in, it says something along the lines of like
bone up.
It says like perfectly cooked or something like that. The second that you scan it in, it's amazing. I had no idea it was a thing. Somebody came in and they're like, you know, there's a Monster Hunter one. I was like, excuse me?
I want to start playing Animal Crossing again.
And it's pretty, I haven't gotten the villager to move in yet, but it's pretty neat. I'm trying. It's difficult because you have to scan them and then they show up at the RV park and then you got to go to the RV like, park and you got to try to
win them over.
But I'm curious because when they come to the RV park, then they have in their RV, it's decorated with a bunch
their
of things.
Their RV is just like a gray jaggy sleeping.
And typically the items in the RV are items that you can order that are unique to that character. So I'm curious to see what items, if there's any Monster Hunter themed items in their RV that you can like buy and add to your, you know, to your house or your
yeah
whatever.
That sounds super rad.
So I'll maybe update next week with more on right. Feline. I don't want to look it up and spoil it for myself, so I'm kind of learning as I go.
I might look it up because that sounds rad. All right, let's do our monster of the week.
All right, the monster of the week this week is Gammoth. Is there a reason?
There is.
Is it the same reason?
It is the same reason. I hunted Gammoth. Last week in Double Cross, I soloed a G-Rank Gammoth.
Really?
Let me say that again.
Wait a minute. You soloed something in G-Rank?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
So I'm not buying Monster Hunter World if it doesn't have G-Rank. My normal hunting crew that hunts with me on Thursday night, I don't think most of them are available because it's a holiday week.
Yeah.
So,
and they're also just really more interested in World at this point.
So I was like, you know what, guys? I think I can solo Gammoth. I think you know how Monster Hunter does, like, the monster of the day?
Yeah.
I think it was Gammoth. And I was like, okay, well, I'm Hunter rank. I think I'm Hunter rank, like, 13. And I think this Gammoth was Hunter. I think anything after 8 is considered G rank, right? High rank ends at 8, and then anything after
7?
Yeah, it ends at 7 or 8, and then anything after that is considered G rank.
Yeah.
And then I think anything after 14, then I'm very new when it comes to G rank, so I'm sure people are screaming at their car stereos right now.
Yeah.
But obviously
I just have a really bad memory.
Obviously you can go to $9.99 for G rank. But I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
And you can pay $9.99 to get G rank in Monster Hunter World. No, that's not true.
So I haven't gotten, my gear's just not good enough to do like past 14.
Yeah.
So I think it was like a Gammoth 11, HR 11 or something. And it killed me. I want to say it only killed me once or twice, but I know Gammoth's like movement really well.
Yeah.
So like I know when it like tries to sit on you. I know when it tries to like suck you up into its trunk.
Yeah.
For the most part, I just worked the back legs. I just worked the legs real hard.
Those legs.
I know like with a hammer, you should go for the head, but
no, you like, just knock that snow off and then work on those legs.
Yeah, for like solo, I wasn't going to focus on Gammoth's face. I just worked the back. And I worked those thighs and I...
Worked those thighs.
I took them down. So it was super, super exciting. It actually, it was a longer hunt. It took me like 35 minutes to solo, but I felt pretty good. That was like the first time I soloed a G-Rank.
Good job.
Monster. So, and then I tried to solo Legiacris afterwards and I just...
Didn't go so well?
He had my number.
Yikes.
But I like Gammoth. I used to call it Elephinto because I didn't know its name.
Elephinto. Wow. All right. Well, Elephinto is resembles a real life woolly mammoth. It is by far the largest fanged beast known to date. The fur covering its huge body is mostly bluish, although it's also white and red on its trunk, legs, back, and underside. It has brown plating covering most of its head and feet, as well as two tusks, seemingly made of the same material. Plating is said to be extremely resistant to damage, and it is extremely resistant to damage. The underside of its trunk seems to be covered in a scaly hide, and it's is lined with numerous spikes. Interestingly, Gammoth is sometimes seen with its legs encased in ice.
Very true.
I was just figured it was like hardened snow, but ice, I guess, makes sense.
Yeah, I guess. Gammoth, some trivia here. Gammoth was first introduced in Generations. It was one of the, what do they call it? Fatal Four.
That's not it. I don't remember the name, but that's the, I like Fatal Four.
Yeah, that was like, one of the Fatal Four.
Like a four, like you, like it's a Fatal Four way.
Yeah, yeah. It's Gammoth, Gladios, Glavius,
Glavinus,
Glavinus, the electric butterfly. What's his name? Acelos. And I said that one right.
You did, actually. I like this, though. I like that the electric butterfly.
And then Slip and Slide is the last one.
I'm struggling with this one. Usually I'm good with this. Mitsutsune?
Maybe. I usually call it Mitsu. I call it Slip and Slide. Elephanto has a pin attack, which is actually one of the ways I died. It pinned me, and I was like, oh, I'm dead. Gammoth can be carved 4 times. I didn't know that. I definitely only carved it 3. Whoops. To recover stamina, Gammoth will dig out large fruits or seeds in Area 7 in the Snowy Mountains. Gammoth requires earplugs. Gammoth's legs are designed after tortoise's legs, and its tail is designed after a raccoon tail. In the game, Gammoths are always female. And when caught in a pitfall trap, only Gammoth's hind legs will fall in. That's actually really good trivia about Gammoth.
It is the Fated Four.
Yeah.
You were close, but yeah.
I said Fatal, I'm sorry.
Fatal Four Way.
Yeah.
I would rather call them the Fatal Four Way.
Yeah, the Fatal Four Way. I kind of like that theme. I like that there are like 4 big monsters. I guess yeah. In this game we only really have Nirigigante.
Well, we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, we don't know. Wait, I'm waiting for the triple threat.
Yeah, I am too. I'm waiting for the huge stuff.
I'm waiting for the cell monsters.
Cell monsters?
The cage monsters.
What?
Steel cage.
I'm trying to keep
making wrestling jokes. Oh, well, let's on those bad jokes, let's end this episode.
Yeah, we got to get ready for ramping up for the Wrestle Kingdom anyways.
Yeah.
Speaking of Japan and also wrestling.
We'll be at PAX. We'll have one more podcast episode before PAX, and then we will be there from January 11th through January 14th. I don't think PAX starts until the 12th, but we'll be there a day early. We will have a panel at 4 p.m., if I'm not mistaken, on Sunday, January 14th. If you have tickets to PAX, the panel is free, of course. I will be doing a Pokemon panel on Friday. Micah will also be on that.
Oh, I will?
I think so. We will have a Destiny... Oh, no, I'm just kidding. We won't have a Destiny panel. So we have 2 panels at PAX. We have a Pokemon and Monster Hunter 1. If you were going to PAX South, which is in San Antonio, would love to see you there. Feel free to tweet at Carve Podcast if you want to meet up. I think we'll have time on the show floor and stuff if you want to say hi to us.
Come on by.
I think Capcom will be there. I don't want to say for sure. I don't want to like throw them under the bus. I'm pretty sure they'll be there. I have to check the schedule.
Yeah.
So if Capcom's there, we'll be near that booth probably most of the time.
I'm not prepared for this.
I can't believe it's next week.
I know.
We're going to be on a plane next week.
Too close. And I can't think of, like, I haven't looked at what's going to be there or like what.
I haven't either.
What things to look forward to? No, I didn't.
There's an app.
Oh, okay.
Or you can just tweet at us directly if you want to meet up or say hi, or just talk, or just tell us how we're wrong or right we were on the podcast. We love to hear your feedback, good or bad. Well, maybe not so much bad, but if you like us,
we maybe wouldn't like to hear. But
you can direct the bad.
I would also still love to hear it.
Direct the bad feedback to me.
Yeah,
direct
or me.
I can handle bad feedback pretty well.
I can too. Just yell at
me. I've been called
it's
everything
fine.
Under the sun. I got thick Gammoth skin at this point.
You got ice covering your...
I got ice covering my legs nonstop.
And your heart.
No one's working my thighs, I'll tell you that. You can follow Micah on Twitter at Micah the Brave. You can follow me on Twitter at Dragging a Lake. I will be streaming some Monster Hunter Double Cross Thursday night, like I always do. Of course, not next Thursday because I will be at PAX. But those Monster Hunter Double Cross nights will turn into Monster Hunter World nights as we get closer. And Micah and I will announce what we're going to do closer to the 26th about what our stream plans are and what our overall, just like what we're doing on that day.
Yeah.
So we might have like we might have bonus podcasts or something like a. We don't know yet, but we're happy to tell you guys as soon as we figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out one way or another.
But hunters, I wanted to let you know, keep on hunting those monsters.
And I guess I'll also let you know, keep on carving those monsters.
Carve is hosted and produced by me, Steve Black Jr. Logo and artwork for The Carve was created by Micah, the co-host of this show. The music by Nicholas Burgess. If you enjoy The Carve, consider leaving a review in Apple Podcasts or tell a fellow hunter about us. If you'd like to support The Carve, you can do so at patreon.com/carvepodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you'll gain access to our Discord to bone up with other hunters who listen to the show. Big shout-outs to The Carve's Life Powder supporters, Austin B, Kay, Gavin M, Carly, and Brandon. Thank you all for listening.